Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the first letter of the Apostle John, chapter 3, beginning with the 18th verse. This is our second lesson for today, this fifth Sunday of Easter. Dear friends in Christ, of course you know that you can make any claim you want. You can say whatever you want. Doesn't matter. For instance, did you know that I can dunk a basketball? Did you know that I can solve a Rubik's Cube in under 15 seconds and run a mile under 4.5 minutes? And that I know 15 different languages? I can tell you don't believe me. But it's true, I said it. Well, prove it, you say. Put your money where your mouth is. Talk is cheap. That's the thing about words. You can say whatever you want. You can make up whatever claim you care to make. But if your actions don't follow your words, then your words are worthless. They're pointless. But isn't that what we often do with love? Well, we tell our spouses or our kids or maybe a family member, I love you, and we figure, oh, that's good enough. We know the golden rule, love your neighbor as yourself, which summarizes the second table of the Ten Commandments. And so we figure, we say I love you, and that means I love you, and that means that we love everyone. And we're following that golden rule. We say it, and then it's good enough. But for actions, don't follow your words. Those words of love are pointless. Talk is cheap. We need to have our actions back up what we say. Look again at what John says in the opening lines of our text. Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. In God's eyes, love is not merely an emotion. It's not the warm fuzzies you get deep down inside when you're with someone you're attracted to. It's not a feeling of companionship or closeness you feel with someone, a sibling or a close friend. Love, first and foremost, is an action. It's what you do or don't do. It's doing nice things to others. It's treating others with love and respect. That's what Christians do. Love, not just with mere words, but we love with actions. And we love in truth, or we love sincerely. We show love to people. We do nice things to others, not because it's expected of us, not so that we can earn someone's favor, not so that we could get something in return. No, we love as Christ loved us. A Christian does nice things for others, takes care of those in need, not expecting anything in return. He treats everyone with love and respect, no matter how they have treated him. He does to others how he himself wants to be treated. And that's proof, God says. That's proof that you are a Christian. Your actions, your acts of love proves who you are or who you're not. As we read in verse 19, this then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. Your acts of love are proof to yourself that you truly are a child of God. And not just proof to yourself, but proof to others. Other people see how you treat them. And how you treat them as a Christian is proof that you belong to Christ. John says in verse 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So if that's the proof that we have that we're Christians, then we have nothing to fear as long as we show love to all people at all times. That's the problem, isn't it? We don't always love as we should. Not just with our words, but also with our actions. Not just with those we are close to, but we especially fail to show love to those who we're not close to, those who have mistreated people we've never met. Your love proves that you're a Christian. And what does your mind think of? It thinks about all the times that you failed to show love, all the times throughout your life that you talked badly about someone, that you spread a rumor about them, about the time that you got in an argument with someone close to you, you said something you immediately regretted, that changed your relationship for years, maybe even for the rest of your life. Your mind thinks about not just the time you failed to show love with your words, but the many more times you failed to show love with your actions. Or the times that you didn't love sincerely, that you did something for someone, you said something nice to someone, but you didn't mean it. You said it because it was expected of you. You said it because you just want to get someone off your back. Or the times when your actions failed to show love. When you got in a physical altercation with a sibling. When you took something that didn't belong to yours. When you saw someone in need, someone who needed help, but you didn't stop to take care of them or didn't help them in their time of need. Your mind goes on and on and on, thinking about all the times that you failed to show love. And then you remember that when you show love, not just with your words and not just with your actions, that you prove whether or not you're a Christian. What does your mind tell you? What does your heart tell you? What does your conscience say about you? Your conscience condemns you. Your mind tells you that each and every one of your sins is grounds for condemnation. So your heart and your conscience are damned. It condemns you. And so does Satan. He whispers in your ear, "You call yourself a Christian? Look at all the horrible things you have done. Unbelievers love more people than you do. Other people treat others with love and respect. And you expect to get into heaven?" What do you think of God's omniscience? The fact that He knows all things. How does that make you feel? I mean, John says at the end of verse 20, in reference to God, He knows all things. That's right, God knows everything. He knows everything you've done. He knows everything you said. He knows even the thoughts in your head. The Lord can remember all the sins you have committed. He knows the secret sins, only the sins that you know of and no one else knows of. He knows all the sins that you don't know of, even the sins that you have committed, the numerous times that you have gone against His will and you don't even realize it. God knows. He knows all things. So not only does your conscience condemn you, not only does Satan convince you that you are going to hell because of how horrible you are, but God doesn't forget your sin. But that's not the context in which John says that God knows all things. No, look at all of verse 20 again. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Our hearts may condemn us, but God doesn't. God knows all things. He knows that He chose you. He knows He chose you from the beginning of the world to be His own dear child, to be saved through faith in Him. He knows what's in your heart. He knows your faith. He also knows that He sent His Son, and His Son Jesus lived a perfect life, not once failing to show love to someone. And He gave us that perfect life on the cross as He took our sins upon Himself and suffered through the eternal punishment that our sins deserve. Then He died in our place. And that through faith in Him, you have already received the blessings that He won for us. God is greater than our hearts. He overcomes our conscience. Our conscience condemns us. But in the Lord, our consciences are no longer burdened. Because in the Lord we stand forgiven already. And that is true whether we believe it or not, and that is true whether we feel saved or not. Just as love is not based on a feeling, neither is our salvation. We are saved whether we feel it or not. Feelings come and go. They change by the hour. But the fact that Christ suffered and died on the cross, the fact that the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all, that He saved the whole world and paid for the whole world's sins, that fact stands as true. If our salvation was based on feelings, we would never be sure. But because Christ paid for our sins, you can be assured that they have been removed as far as east as from west. And as Paul says in Romans 8, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Our soul condemns us. Our conscience condemns us. Not the Lord. Because the Lord suffered and died for our sins, God declares us not guilty. Despite our sins, we have been acquitted and saved from the eternal consequences from everything we have done wrong. This gift comes to us by Christ's love. And Christ's love doesn't come to us simply by words of love and compassion. And Jesus was filled with words of love and compassion again and again. He had compassion on His children. Again and again He spoke words of love. We think of the many times that Jesus promised that He was going to suffer and die on the cross and be raised from the dead. But all those words would have been worthless if His actions wouldn't have followed His words of love. And that's exactly what Christ did. He truly did suffer and die. He truly did rise from the dead. And that means that our sins have truly been paid for and eternal life has truly been given to us. This is a love that Christ had, that He died to save us, sinners, His enemies, who sin against Him on a constant basis. Christ died for us. That's love. As Paul points out in Romans 5, God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent His Son into the world to suffer and die for us sinners who were enemies, who hated Him, wanted nothing to do with Him. That's love. As John says, just a few verses before our text, that was an act of love that led Jesus to suffer and die. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. That is a love. That is true love. Not words, not feelings or emotions, but actions. A limitless love. A love without limits. That Christ would suffer and die for us. And this gift of love, these gifts of love, are only received through faith in Him. That is a command that Jesus gives us, to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how much the Lord loves us. What He demands, that we be perfect without sin, that we be holy, He gives us. What God commands, that we believe in Him, He also gives us. Because we can't believe on our own. Born as enemies of God who hated Him. If the choice was up to us to believe in Jesus or not, we never would make that choice to believe. No, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. This faith that God demands, that receives the blessings of salvation, is a gift also given freely to us. As we hear the gospel, the Holy Spirit works faith into our hearts. Again, the gift of faith is a gift given out of love. And because we know God loves us. We are able to approach God with freedom and with confidence, as Paul says in Ephesians 3. We can approach God in prayer. As a son goes up to his father and asks him for anything, and knows that because his father loves him, he is not going to give anything that's going to harm him. So we can go before our Father in heaven with confidence and with freedom, and know that he will bless us. This is the limitless love of Christ that leads us to love others. Not just with words, but with actions. By showing limitless love to others. We show the love of Christ as we show love to others. We do this sincerely and willingly, not because it's expected of us, not so that we might get something in return, but because Christ gave up his life for us. John says that the love of Christ, and that he gave up his life for us, as a result, that we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Living the life of Christ willingly. That's what Christians can do, and the only Christians can do. That's how we know that we're Christians. That's the proof. That we are his children, that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, that we show love to others. Will we fail? Sure. Constantly. And yet, when our hearts condemn us, we stand not guilty before the Lord, acquitted on account of Christ and his limitless love. And so, we use that love to show love to others. We struggle each and every day to obey God's commands and love our neighbor as ourselves. And it is that struggle that the Holy Spirit is working in you. It is that struggle that you are a child of God. So we love. Not with mere words, talk is cheap, but with actions. A love, a limitless love with actions. The love of Christ. That he died to rise for our eternal life. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.